Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We plow the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine, and soft refreshing rain. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Then thank the Lord, oh thank the Lord, for all his love. Any of you recognize that? It's from Godspell. Remember the musical that came out, 40 years ago? 45, maybe even close to 50 years ago? I think we're all getting older again. Folks, we're going to talk about this today in the middle of my sermon, but We Plow the Fields and Scatter was a German hymn, and it was written to go along with the Harvest Festival, which is what we're in right now. It was written by poet Matthias Claudius. Wir pflügen und wir streuen was promised in 1782 and set to music in 1800, and the music was written by Johann A.P. Schulz, one of those three great composers of the Lutheran Church. Well, we say three, it's the three S's is what they are. It was translated in English by Jane Montgomery Campbell in 1861, and it appears in a shortened form in the musical Godspell, where it's sung during the story of our parable today. Well, let's look at the scripture again. I think that is relevant here, and this is from the Gospel. The stone that the builders rejected, if you want to look on, this is verse 42. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruit. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush you. All good fruits around us are sent from heaven above. Isn't that a great message? I think so. You know, this first part of Pentecost, I think it's great because we always have themes. You know, Epiphany and Pentecost both have themes going on. But our theme that's been going on lately, I think, is two of the most important things we have in the church. Forgiveness and salvation. And I think there's two really important themes in this scripture that I read to you. First of all, the concept of Christ as the cornerstone. And second, the fruits not only come from God, but are also given to those who are producing the fruits. Well, first of all, let's look at the cornerstone. The cornerstone, or the keystone, as it's actually referred to, is known. It's in every building, every bridge, every construction of any kind. The construction is built upon it so that it can be built without a problem. In other words, it's going to be plumb and level. And that's what the cornerstone does, is it's what the entire construction is being built upon. Well, the builders who rejected Jesus are the same people who built the stone temple in Jerusalem. All right, when we look at that temple, is it still standing? No. In fact, it was torn down twice. Once by the Babylonians, the second one by the Romans in 70 AD. Hasn't been rebuilt. Although there's talk all the time about rebuilding that temple. But our text tells us that the people who rejected the cornerstone. Well, what does that mean? Well, remember, Jesus tells us that after the crucifixion, okay, he will rebuild the temple in 3 days. All right, so what's going to be the cornerstone of that new temple? Jesus. And it's Jesus who's the real temple in the future, not a stone Ephesus. You know, we look at the pyramids, which are the last remaining 7 wonders of the ancient world. And they've been there for what, 4,000 years? The Earth's a lot older than that. And not only that, people have been here longer than that. So the thing is, we can build things out of stone, and they'll last for a long time. But do they last forever? No. But that cornerstone of our faith, Jesus Christ, does he last forever? Yes, I think so too. Well, you know, when I was doing this, you know, it's funny how your mind works. In John 14, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? Isn't that what a cornerstone is? The be-all and end-all and everything. That's why I thought this whole concept of the cornerstone that's in this is really important. I think that next step in our text is really important. And I was thinking, how do I explain this? How many of you were involved in sales at one time, tried to sell something? Okay, quite a few. One of the best sales techniques there is to take it away from somebody. You know, Doug, since you're visiting today, I'm going to use you as an example. I come up and I offer you something, and you tell me, no, I don't want it. Okay, start walking around. I leave. And Doug said, oh, no, wait a minute. You ever had that happen? Okay. A little bit. You know, the only thing in sales, and I made a lot of money in sales, is if somebody says, I don't want it, that's when you say thank you and I leave. Otherwise, you know, well, I don't know if I can afford it. Oh, I don't know. What you're trying to do is convince yourself that you can do this. Well, we look at our relationship to Jesus and the fruits that we receive. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, I'm not worthy. What do you mean you're not worthy? You're a Christian. Okay? You are worthy. Christ paid for that worthiness on the cross for us. You know, accept it. But now our text tells us, though, that those fruits are given to people who produce fruits. Remember, if we do something in the Bible, how many times is it returned to us? Tenfold. Okay? Because we work with Jesus. We work with God. It's important for us. But yet, as good Lutherans, we look at the difference between law and gospel. Gospel is what we receive. Law is what we do. But yet, didn't Jesus ask us to do things? Look at the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6. You know? He tells us to do things. So if Jesus is telling us to do things, is it gospel or is it law? Yes, it's both. But yet, as Christians, you and I talked about this morning, didn't we, Bill? As Christians, we want to serve our fellow man. Do you expect to get paid for it? No. It's the thing we do in our faith. And living out our faith on a daily basis. You know, I think the fruits we receive, the fruits we do, all come down to that concept of Jesus is our cornerstone. He's our level. He's our plumb. He's what we build everything on. Because without that cornerstone, what do we have? We don't have anything. And the thing is, when I read the Bible, which is the story of his cornerstone, told to us. it's the Word of God that's lasted for 2,000 years in the New Testament and about 3,000, 3,500, close to 4,000, depending on the book of the Old Testament. You know, the Word of God lasts forever. And it's that cornerstone that we learn about, that we base everything on, and brings us all the fruits.
Pennsylvania is the keystone state, and it was the first capital in our country, and that was built on a Christian foundation, and that's why we need to get back to the Christian foundation, because that is the cornerstone.
If I can say something, Carmen, that's a little bit off subject. The 4th of July, what was it, two Sundays after that, I think? Anyway, I preached on the Founding Fathers and their Christian faith, and I actually preached on what they wrote, and those sermons are on our website, okay? And the thing is that, yes, we are a Christian country, and yes, they wrote about it, and yes, it was important to them.
Because we should live in Pennsylvania, I always said, why is it the keys that you said? I realized later that it all ties together.
Even Madison said that we are based on a Judeo-Christian outlook. You know, Judeo-Christian, Old Testament, New Testament, it's the Bible. You know, even Jefferson said that the Bible was so important. He took the miracles out of the Bible, and he wrote it into a book. He made a new form called The Life and Times of Jesus of Nazareth that were supposed to be the building block for people's relationship with other peoples in the United States. Now tell me that that's somebody that rejected God. Anyway, we're getting off subject, but thank you for bringing. No, that's all right. You know, one of the things in my sermons, you can talk and that kind of thing. But folks, it comes down to that cornerstone is based on that theme, forgiveness, salvation. We are sinners. Without forgiveness, we are nothing. Pastor Don and I have talked about that a lot here in the last few days. You have to be forgiven. But remember, forgiven is freely given if you do what? Ask for it. A pure and contrite heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew all my right spirits within me. Thank you. The thing is, if I don't sing in my head, create in me a clean heart, O God, you know, I screw up on it. But the thing is, that is so important. Create it in me. Because I ask you to create it. Thank you, God. And remember, without salvation, we're nothing. I mean, when the time comes, they dig the hole, they put us in it, and that's it. But I was so blessed to be able to spend a lot of time in the VA hospital in Cincinnati during my vicarage time. Because I saw salvation work out with so many people I sat with when they went to glory. Because you could see the smile on their face, and I don't know how many of them reached. And when I saw that, I knew salvation was real. So when we look at that cornerstone of our faith, the cornerstone of our salvation, remember that Jesus teaches us that he is that cornerstone of the temple. The cornerstone of our lives as Christians. May this cornerstone of our faith keep us fed and watered in our faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah and amen.